Winter Olympics have started, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to see lots of images of athletes competing in the Games. And we'll certainly see plenty of images of athletes on the podium, especially if our Canadians win lots of medals. The athletes are out there competing for the medals, gold, silver, bronze, and they're awarded those medals in a very special place on the podium. As they stand on the podium, we, with glowing hearts, worship them for a moment as they shine with the glory of their divine status. Well, perhaps that was a bit overstated, but hold that thought, set it aside for now. The Olympics are indeed going to lay claim to our attention for the next couple of weeks, and they'll get a good chunk of it. As people of faith, we should be doing some reflection about the Olympics, both perhaps on the positive and the negative side. On the one hand, consider the first two fundamental principles of Olympism, as spelled out in the Olympic Charter. And let me read those principles for you. Olympism is a philosophy of life, exalting and combining in a balanced whole the qualities of body, will, and mind. Blending sport with culture and education, Olympism seeks to create a way of life based on the joy of effort, the educational value of good example, and respect for universal fundamental ethical principles. The goal of Olympism is to place sport at the service of the harmonious development of humanity with a view to promoting a peaceful society concerned with the preservation of human dignity. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And I suppose we can laud the efforts of individual athletes who exercise admirable self-discipline and extraordinary effort in the face of formidable challenges. Perhaps the Olympics are indeed a celebration of the human spirit at its finest, as many enthusiasts claim. On the other hand, questions need to be raised about the crass commercialization of the Olympics, about the appropriation of indigenous symbols and traditions, about the use of clothing and equipment produced in sweatshops, about the continuous problems with cheating and doping, and do we really want to create venues where people risk their very lives and, in fact, lose their lives, as we've already seen this week in Vancouver? But today, on this Transfiguration Sunday, I'm not going to sing the praises of the Olympic spirit, nor will I speak about the downside, to speak a prophetic judgment on the underbelly of the Olympic enterprise. But instead, I want to talk about the idea of the Olympic podium, which arises, I think, from a fundamental building block in the human imagination, a concept found in human thinking already in ancient times, be it in Greece or be it in Israel. As the first Olympic winners climb onto their podia this weekend, our gospel reading provides us with a podium of its own. Three figures on a mountaintop. Jesus is glorified on a mountaintop along with Moses and Elijah. Is not the Olympic podium a little mountain in itself? And are not the winning athletes glorified, as I suggested a moment ago, on that little mountain of theirs? They shine with the accomplishments of their Olympic prowess. Gleaming medals are hung around their necks, and there they stand in their moment of glory, transfigured into the gods of Mount Olympus, admired, if not worshipped, by mere mortals like you and me, who could never, never perform the feats that they have managed to accomplish. not so different, is it, from our gospel story, which has Jesus, Elijah, and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, shining with the glory of God for a brief moment, while the disciples look on in awe, admiring the scene, worshiping the transfigured ones. I suppose we need to have Jesus up on a podium today. We've come to the end of the season of Epiphany. Lent begins this coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Epiphany is the season of recognizing Jesus as the light of our lives. During Epiphany, we've seen Jesus acknowledged as God's beloved one with whom God is pleased. We heard that from the voice in the clouds in Jesus' baptism. And didn't we hear that voice again in our Transfiguration story today? We saw Jesus begin a ministry of calling disciples, giving them their jobs to do. The ministry continued with acts of compassion, healing, profound teaching. Surely this Jesus is an epiphany of God, an anointed one, a Messiah, a Christ, an excellent Christ, the gold medalist when it comes to being Christ. So at the end of Epiphany, we have to put Jesus on the Epiphany podium just to be sure that Jesus is that most excellent manifestation of God in our lives. We need this assurance just now, because very soon Jesus will be stepping off that podium, going down the mountain, traveling away from the exhilaration and the glory towards humiliation, suffering, abandonment, execution. That's going to be a very tough path to travel. And when Jesus tells us in a little while, pick up your cross and follow me, we're going to feel like heading for the hills, back to the mountaintop, instead of walking through that valley of the shadow of death. Perhaps the only thing that'll get us through the valley is the memory of the podium today, the knowledge that Jesus is, after all, the gold medal epiphany of God. It's a good thing we're in church today, isn't it? On this Transfiguration Sunday, to see Jesus in all his glory. Pity those who are missing it. God knows how they will ever make it through the season of Lent, let alone the agony of Holy Week and Good Friday. However, the Olympic analogy is not quite right. And we need to consider a few more things about our Transfiguration podium. First, we need to ignore the gold, silver, and bronze categorization thing. Although many Christians would jump at giving Jesus the gold, Elijah the silver, and Moses the bronze, that is not the intention of the gospel writer. The three glorified persons simply represent three aspects of divine revelation: the law, the prophets, the gospel. The fact that Moses and Elijah are there on the mountain with Jesus is meant to show that Jesus, too, is worthy to represent a revelation from God, just like Moses, God's spokesperson for the law, and Elijah, God's spokesperson for prophecy. They're really meant to be a team rather than a hierarchy. They share the same limelight, the same platinum medal, let's say. When Jesus gets on the podium, the glory is shared, as it will be on any podium that Jesus gets onto. Moreover, it has to be said that the Transfiguration podium is not a photo op. Did you notice in the story that the disciple Peter wanted to capture the moment by building a little shrine there on the mountain? Peter says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter wanted to put the scene in a box. If he'd had a camera, he would have wanted to take a picture, splash the picture on the front page of the Olympic Games section of the Globe and Mail. But no, this is not a photo op. It's not breaking news. It is not something to gossip about. In fact, our reading says that everyone kept quiet about the mysterious event on the mountaintop. It was not spoken about, at least not until after the subsequent Lenten journey is finished, not until the gospel is proclaimed in all its fullness. The transfiguration story is not meant for indiscriminate public consumption. Instead, it is meant for those who have made a serious journey through the season of Epiphany. It is meant for those who will then make a serious journey all the way through Lent, allowing the transfiguration experience to give them strength along the way. And then when the true victory of Easter comes, that will be the time to celebrate the Epiphany of Jesus in all its glory. So we look towards the Lenten season ahead of us, and there, at the end of Lent, lo and behold, we see another podium. The pattern repeats itself. Three figures on a hilltop. But it's a very tragic podium this time. This time the hill is called Golgotha, meaning the place of a skull. And the three figures, three criminals hanging on crosses being executed. Jesus is one of those three persons hanging on those crosses. And the story of Jesus is incomplete without this crucifixion podium. In fact, the Epiphany of God in Jesus is incomplete without this crucifixion podium. Another reason, of course, why today's transfiguration podium can't be publicized until after that other podium has also had its say. We have the upcoming season of Lent to continue our reflection on the suffering and death of Jesus and what the cross of Christ might have to say to us. But today we need to acknowledge at least that the gospel is incomplete without the cross. And actually, of course, it is the cross that makes Christianity what it is. And the essence of our faith is shown to us on the Golgotha podium rather than the Epiphany Transfiguration podium. Now, Christianity has by and large overlooked the shared podium of Golgotha. All of the focus has come to rest on the figure in the center, on Jesus, and Jesus ends up doing it all, carrying all of the sins of all of the world, rising in solitary splendor, claiming exclusive rights to the work of salvation, becoming, in the eyes of Christians, the only Savior of the world, and so on. The other figures on the podium, on the Golgotha podium, conveniently disappear. Or do they? I've always thought that the Transfiguration story is actually a resurrection story. It has the feel and the character of a resurrection story. And I think that the gospel writers have placed it in the middle of the gospel as a foreshadowing of that which is to come later, and as an early point of climax in a story which subsequently has to move on to the devastating accounts of Jesus' betrayal, suffering, and death. And if it is indeed a resurrection story, then at least we get our three figures in this resurrection story. Never mind and their particular identities. Personally, I have a deep longing for three figures on an Easter podium, as well as on Good Friday. I love my threes. There has three just has to be, don't you think it just has to be a magic number? It somehow resonates with a divine essence. During my university days, I developed a passion for trio sonatas. I started to dabble in trigonometry. I became obsessed with triangles. I built countless cardboard models of tetrahedrons, icosahedrons, and various geodesic structures, all made from individual triangles. You can ask Allison if you don't believe me. She was there. And we went on to live in a geodesic dome, hand-built out of triangular components. And we lived our lives inside that dome, feeling that certain resonance with the essence of the universe. And let me be quick to add that we reached this nirvana without the aid of any magic mushrooms. So it must have been those triangles. In any case, we do end up with three figures on the ultimate podium of our faith. Three figures in the persons of the Holy Trinity, where the risen Christ finds a place together with the Ancient of Days and the Spirit of Life. I will never find myself on any Olympic podium, nor can I aspire to the podium in our scripture reading today. It would be challenging just to be a spectator. No doubt, I would be just as confused as those poor disciples who had no clue whatsoever what might have been going on. But the podium at Golgotha, that is a place where any one of us can find ourselves. That podium is a place for people who have been shafted by life in this world. Perhaps because of their own dysfunction or stupidity, but perhaps through no fault of their own. Life can be harsh. Life can be terribly unfair. Sometimes we just get screwed. We end up with the booby prize, whether we deserve it or not. And I dare say that we've all been there. I certainly have. Being a Christian, I have a profound sense of kinship with Jesus. That sense of kinship is strongest when Jesus joins me on the booby prize podium. There are three of us there, Jesus, me, someone else representing the rest of humanity, and we've all been screwed. That other one and me, the two of us, we've resigned ourselves to the forces of corruption and death. But Jesus has not. The gifts of the Spirit could not be beaten out of him. Even death has no dominion over him. And when our friend Jesus says thanks, but no thanks, to the booby prize medal, the other two of us, and that is all the rest of us, are invited to step off that bloody podium, kick it aside, and get on with a new kind of life where the gifts of the Spirit set the agenda rather than the forces of corruption and death. Not that those forces then magically disappear. Not that cruelty and injustice, pain and disease evaporate into thin air. But they have no real power over us anymore. And when that has happened, we are free, liberated, saved. No wonder we want to make Jesus the champion of abundant living. No wonder we want to put Jesus onto the podium of sages with Moses and Elijah. Or better yet, with the source of all goodness itself, with God's self in a trinity of Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Now that podium is worthy of some real adoration, with three divine champions worthy of our worship and praise. And so praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.